Good evening, First Baptist Church family and friends, and welcome to our Wednesday night prayer service for October 26, 2022. This is Cynthia Tinsley, your facilitator for tonight, and I have two things for you to keep in mind. Number one, please try to quiet all background noise while the line is unmuted. And number two, all program participants for this evening should leave their phones unmuted and wait until I call your name before speaking. We will now begin with our prayer of thanksgiving and praise by Deacon Orpheus Tucker.
Let us pray. Father, we come before you today, not to ask for anything, but to simply say thank you. Thank you for the gift of life, the lives of our families. Thank you for my job and for all the food that you provide us. Thank you for your strength and health that you have given us. Thank you for giving us a place to lay our heads. We are truly grateful. Thank you for traveling mercies, for being our shepherd through dark times. We want to say thank you for saving us from our own traps. We say thank you. We thank you that you give us all the glory and adoration for all that you do for us. I am humbled by your grace and by your ever-loving love for me. Thank you, Father. Amen.
I apologize for the delay. I'm working with one device at this moment. We will now have scripture reading by Sister Betty Barber.
Hey. After this manner, therefore, pray, ye our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We will now have a prayer by Deaconess Joyce Gant.
Dear Lord, each of us who are participating are glad that you, our Lord Jesus Christ, has given us the strength to endure. Lord, you know what we are in need of and what we need strength to endure. And Lord God, the fact that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are willing to participate, they know that as a body, we gain strength. Continue to guide us, strengthen us, Lord, and to keep us with the thoughts of how you bless us rather than thoughts of fear. You love us, Lord. You have taken us through many trials and other temptations that have come in our life. And Lord God, you love us when we're willing to participate freely, Lord, because of what you do in our lives, because you are our Lord and Savior. You love us. And when we cannot see things, Lord, you are there and know how they will come out. Thank you for each brother and sister in Christ who wants to gain strength by being on one accord, claiming what the Lord God has blessed, promised us to have through his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we have the communications to be able to communicate with each other. Thank you, Lord God, that you are blessed us to be able to use these communications to continue to worship and praise you and have our time together, because the united spirit is much stronger than a single spirit alone. So the united spirit gives us strength. In your name, Jesus, I pray that we will continue to search for you, could depend on you, and know you, that you are always there for us. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We will now have a 2-minute closed mic prayer. This is your time to speak directly to the Lord during our 2-minute closed mic prayer. We will now have a prayer by Deacon Wesley Riddick III.
Father God, I just want to thank you for all you do for me, my family, and my church family. Father God, I want to thank you for putting all of us on the wake-up list this morning, because things could have been the other way. Father, you're just so good to us all the time. I want to thank you for our pastor, for Lisa Tucker, our deaconess board, our trustee board, and the deacon board. Father God, I would like to thank Pastor Tucker for being our pastor for all these many years, and we're going to miss him coming this new year. Because he planned on retiring, Lord. So, Lord, I'm going to ask you to keep blessing him all the time. And, Father God, I just want to thank you once again for all you do for all of us. And I want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We will now have a musical selection, followed by our inspirational speaker for this evening, Sister Victoria Taylor Cooper, who is a member of Mount Jezreel Baptist Church and the former director of the First Baptist Church Senior Center.
Everyone, thank you so much for having me on tonight. Again, my name is Victoria Cooper, and I will be bringing the inspirational message titled "What's Love Got to Do with It?" But it will be scripture reference. I'm sure that some of you remember the song by Tina Turner called "What's Love Got to Do with It?" It came out in, 1983, and I was 16 years old at the time, and this was a popular song back in the day. And if I had to take a wild guess, I would say it was probably the anthem for those women that suffered domestic abuse for their spouses, because Tina Turner, her life had occasionally been in the media platform regarding physical abuse inflicted by her husband, Ike Turner. I remember during this time myself, I was just humming along this song because it was real popular, but yet I know today that I did it very, very foolishly. I purchased the record, then a few years later I also purchased the CDs, when the CDs came out. Anyhow, it wasn't until 1993, about 9 years later after the song came out, that the autobiography of Tina Turner came out as a movie with the same title, What's Love Got to Do with It? Back in the day, I can honestly say that song was my theme song as well, not due to domestic violence. I just can't relate to Tina on that matter, but more so of the popular phrase that was sung in that song, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? I surely didn't know at that time what true love was. Me and my siblings, we didn't grow up in a Christian household. My siblings and I, we only went to church like during Easter. I don't even recall going to church during Christmas time. And every now and then we would go to a funeral service of a loved one that passed away. So that's just my memory of coming along in regards to going to church. But as far as love goes, my siblings and I, we just didn't receive, nor was we shown what love really is from our parents. And really it was just the opposite. We saw the arguing, the fussing, the cussing, and my mother abandoned me and my siblings and my father when I was a young girl. I was 10 years old, at the time. But anyway, that's pretty much in a nutshell, and that's a chapter on its own. But the main lyrical theme of the song was Love Got to Do with It. It asks four questions. And one of those questions is asked two times. Like one was not enough. But anyway, the questions that were asked in this song, the main lyrical theme is, number one, what's love got to do with it? Number two, what's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? So if you saw the movie, and I'm sure some of you probably did, it came on HBO, Prime TV, your local channel station as a featured movie, then you would know that the movie and the song goes hand in hand. Now, according to the movie, What's Love Got to Do with It, it is an autobiography that mirrors the life of singer Tina Turner. The movie had informed the viewers of how Tina's mother had abandoned and rejected her as a youth, Tina getting pregnant by a married man who later turned out to be her husband, that imposed both psychological and physical abuse. There was also betrayal of friendships, dabbing in drugs, suicide attempt, rape, lies, and so forth. It's apparent from the movie storyline that Tina was indeed looking for love, but in all the wrong places, peoples, things, and religion. Inadvertently, love for her was just a mere secondhand emotion in which she did not want in her heart, because in her reality, a heart can be broken. Furthermore, the movie What's Love Got to Do with It depicted that Tina did not accept nor had a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ as her personal savior. It did show in the movie, though, that a female bandmate that was a backup singer that toured with her eventually became a good friend and a close confidant to Tina. Also, it was the same friend that introduced her to the religion Buddhism. But I would like to take a few moments to answer Turner's four main questions in her song, What's Love Got to Do with It? But I will back that up by scripture in the Bible. So the first theme question that she asks, what's love got to do with it? Well, I just want to let Tina Turner know, love has everything to do with it from God's perspective. All of us here today, we can identify in some form or fashion that we've experienced hurt, used, taken advantage of, mistreated, lied on, talked about, heartbroken, and so forth, and perhaps some more than others. So we can identify with Tina on that regard, but in God's perspective, love has everything to do with it. The ultimate love was given to mankind, as the scriptures of John 3:16 says, and I'm reading this from the King James Version. We all know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So then where do love come from? In the scripture, 1 John 4:7-10, and this is the NIV version, dear friends, let us love one another, for God comes from love. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love, not what we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So then we get to question number two. She asks, what's love but a secondhand emotion? So when I pondered over that, I said, well, let me get the definition of what is a secondhand emotion. So according to the dictionary, an emotion is a feeling such as happiness, love, fear, anger, or hatred, which can be caused by the situation that you are in or the people you are with. So generally, when we think of love, it's easy to think about good feelings, but real love is not dependent, and I'll say that again, real love is not dependent on feelings. It is about how we feel about someone, whether it's romantic love, a member of our family, a friend, a coworker. So often love is given and received based on what we ourselves get out of it. And I'm going to give you two brief examples on that. I have a family member, it's a cousin, And she's not well favored, you know, in the family. She starts rumors and discords and arguments. But somehow she and I, we do get along, and I can say that I do love her within boundaries. And she knows not to bring me that family drama she tries to stir up every now and then. So one day, it was a little bit before I was getting married, like maybe about a month before I was getting ready to get married, she called me. I was sitting in my car, and she said, "Hey, cousin, I'm just calling you to see how you're doing." And I said, "I'm doing fine." And then she started in on her antics about her mom. And I stopped her right then and there. I said, "Listen, I do not want to participate in such conversation. That is my mother's sister. I will respect my mother's sister. I don't want to hear it, so don't bring that drama to me." Even though I said that I loved her, but that time she really, really made me angry at her. You know, and I don't think I had much love for her. But as I was talking, she hung up on me. So I was like, okay. I called her back. Of course she didn't answer. So I just left her a not so kind message. But yet I told her that I loved her. So again, real love is not dependent on feelings. So remember, she hung up on me, and yet I got angry. But yet I told her earlier, you know, throughout the years, that I love her. Well, not long ago, actually it was my past birthday. It's been like a couple of years later. She had gave me this beautiful birthday dress. It was cotton. It was tie-dye. It was just exactly my type. When she gave me the present, I told her, "Oh, cousin, I love you so much. Thank you." And she said, "Well, you're welcome." And I just thought this was your taste. So, and I told her, "Oh, I love you." So she gave me something. And then I felt good about her. But again, our love, I mean, real love is not dependent on feelings. So does the Bible deem love as a secondhand emotion? Mm-mm. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 states, "Love is long-suffering and kind. It does not envy, does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." So what is love then? When we can do all these things despite our feelings, regardless of someone's actions, that is love. We do not feel love when we are tempted to anger, be impatient, to seek our own, to believe the worst, to give up on somebody, but then we deny these feelings and rejoice is long-suffering, humbling ourselves, bear with someone, endure all things. Now that is truly love. Love laid down is life. Those natural reactions and demands that are part of our human nature and expects nothing in return. So John 15:13 states, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." So Tina goes on to ask another question again. She said, "What's love got to do with it?" So the first time she asked it in her lyric, she comes back and asks it again. So I'm going to answer it in a different approach. Biblical scripture. Again, Tina, I say love has everything to do with it, because scripture tells us in 1 John 4:8, God is love. God is the foundation of genuine, multifaceted, and eternal love. Scripture reads in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's the NIV version, by the way. God didn't wait for sinners like you and me to get holy before he loved us. Instead, he loved us despite our failures and sin. While we were still sinning away, Christ died for us. In turn, we are to reciprocate agape love to our fellow man, be it they are good or bad. Matthew 44:45 states, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of the Father in heaven. For us Christians, there are no exceptions to this commandment. We as Christians can't say, well, this person don't deserve it. Jesus laid down his life for us, the ultimate sign of how much he loved us, and no one has ever been less deserving than we are of that. Excuse me. To love does not mean to agree with someone's sin, to say that everything that they do is okay. Rather, it is to bear with them, to pray with them, to have faith for them, and want the very best for them. It's an action despite how I feel. Then I can come from having a natural dislike for someone to having a genuine love for them. 1 Corinthians 13:13 states, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 John 13:34-35 reads, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Then the last question Tina asks, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? And that was one of my favorite parts in her song, because I was the same way. I'm like, who needs a heart? People only fail you, and people only leave you. And I was only going off of my childhood when I was agreeing with Tina on this. But oh, how I was wrong. I asked the Holy Father to forgive me and to dump love into me, because I do know to this day that he loves me. So I answer your question, Tina. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Jesus came to heal the broken heart. In him, there is no condemnation. He knows we live in a fallen world. He knows we are engaged in a spiritual battle. We become injured. We break our hearts. He is here for us with his presence and with healing. Our hearts are so important to God that numerous scriptures are devoted to them. God desires a real relationship with us, not obedience alone. Of course, sometimes our hearts or our feelings are not completely in obedience, yet we should still obey. Even still, God cares that our hearts become engaged in the process, and he has compassion on us when our hearts are broken. So I do have 5 scripture points that I would like to reference about a broken heart. We all know this one, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. That means your broken hearts, your concerns, your failures, everything God wants, everything. Second point, take refuge in God. That's Psalms 73:26-28. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. Third point, Psalm 38:9-11. Pour your heart to God. Oh, Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes. It is also has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand afar off. And that's from the English Standard Version. The fourth point, that's Psalms 10:17-18. That's from the ESV Version. Trust that he hears you. We got to trust that God hears us. Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the means of the earth may oppress no more. And a final fifth point, Psalms 27:14 in the ESV Version, wait for the Lord in hope. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. I'm just going to briefly read you. It's called I Am What the Bible Say That I Am. I have an excerpt, and it's about love. And it's by Jake and Keith Providence. I purchased this at Walmart about 2 weeks ago. I seen it, and I just, oh, let me just get this. And this is really perfect in regards to love. The title is called I Am Love. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, wherever you are from, no matter your station in life, God loves you and will never stop loving you. Neither your accomplishments, nor your failures, your victories, nor your defeats qualify you or disqualify you for his love. Nothing you do or don't do will make God love you any more or any less. Let the truth set you free. When God looks at you, he doesn't think paying with the most precious things he had in all eternity, Jesus Christ, was too high of a price for you. He displayed for all creation and eternity his immeasurable and untouchable love for you. That kind of love is difficult to comprehend because it is so contrary to everything we see in the world. His love cannot be altered, changed, or stopped. It's unconditional. You can't earn it. You can't do enough deeds to deserve it. And you can't do enough bad deeds for him to take it away. But it's up to you whether you accept it or not. When you sin, don't run from God. Run to him, regardless of how big, bad, and ugly your sins have been. Because God is not fazed by it. God knows all. Nothing you can do is more powerful than what Jesus already did at the cross. Let him break the bondage in your life. Lift the weights off your shoulders. Rid you of your guilt. Heal your pain. Take your worry. Replace your fear with faith born through an intimate relationship with him. He wants to restore you with his love to a life of peace and joy. Rejoice, for you are loved. And lastly, the affirmation to that is, you speak these words here. God's love for me is an unchangeable fact. God's love for me is greater than any sin I have committed, greater than any failure I have had. Nothing I do, nothing other people do, and nothing the devil does can separate me from God's love. Not death, nor life, nor angels or principalities can separate me from his love. God's love for me is eternal. His love knows no boundaries. It never gives up believing in me or reaching out to me. God's love is there for me in the darkest time in my life. When I think I can't go on, his life comforts me. His love sustains me, and his love encourages my soul and restores my hope. God's love endures forever, and he loves me. So that does conclude my inspirational moment for today. And I do want to say thank you so, so much. And in closure, I would like to say thank you to Reverend Dr. Frank Tucker, the senior pastor of First Baptist Church. I would also like to thank First Baptist Church and its congregants, this Wednesday night prayer ministry, Mrs. Tolliver, for reaching out to me and allowing me on this day, October the 26th, 2022, to share an inspirational moment. I am much obliged and very appreciative of this opportunity. I also want to thank my husband, Edward Cooper, who is on the line tonight, for his support. I thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Victoria, for that very wonderful and timely message. The lines will now be open for 20 seconds so that we can show our love and appreciation to Sister Victoria Taylor Cooper and her message. The lines will be unmuted for 20 seconds.
Love, you ain't nothing you can do about it. Love, you ain't nothing you can do about it. I love you so much, ain't nothing you can do about it. Because the one that loves you the most loves you the best.
Yes. Thank you, Victoria.
Love, you ain't nothing you can do about it.
Thank you, Victoria.
God bless you.
Nothing you can do about it. God bless you, my sister.
Thank you.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. Love, you ain't nothing you can do about it.
The love of God is an everlasting love. Amen, amen, amen. Three announcements to make before we proceed with remarks and prayers by Reverend Tucker. The first is the music ministry of First Baptist Church cordially invites you to share with us as we present psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the organ consoles Sunday, November 20th, 2022 at 2 o'clock p.m. There will be a pre-concert discussion beginning at 1:30 p.m., moderated by the Reverend Dr. Dolores Carpenter, who is the founder of the African Heritage Cultural Institute. Come and enjoy an afternoon of hymns and sacred music offerings by area guest organists, including our very own Dr. Garnett Mowat. The concert will take place at First Baptist Church. The event is free and open to the public. For more information and to register for this event, please visit our website, fbcwdc.org. Temperature screening and wearing of masks are required. The second announcement is in reverence, recognition, and reflection of our pastor, Reverend Tucker has asked that the First Baptist Church family join him in supporting our outreach ministry. This Christmas, with your help, the outreach ministry will serve 125 foster children residing in the DMV. You are asked to give a sacred donation of $25 or more to help them experience the joy of Christmas as never before. You may provide your support via cash, check, money order, or Visa gift card. Alternatively, you can make your donation online via our website using our e-giving tool. A member of the outreach ministry will be available to accept your gifts at the conclusion of each service. The collection times are October 16th through November 12th. If you have any questions, please contact Sister Betty McKenzie Mabry at 301-573-0499. Again, if you have any questions, please contact Sister Betty McKenzie Mabry at 301-537-0499. And lastly, members of the Pastor's Commemorative Celebration Committee are available in Ida Clark Hall at the conclusion of every service to receive your payments for the organ concert sponsor and ads for our gala souvenir journal, and gala tickets. To include your name or ad in our organ concert program, we must have your payment and information by this Sunday, October 30th. Thank you so much. We will now proceed with remarks and closing prayers by Reverend Tucker.
Let me just say thank God for this blessed evening of prayer and praise and inspirational word. First of all, let me say thank you to the members of our fellowship that were participants on the program and the services this evening. And especially am I grateful to God for Sister Victoria Taylor Cooper for that very timely message, a message that meant so much to me. And I want her to know how much she is loved and appreciated. We thank God for her and for that message this evening. And then we're grateful to God also for all of you who attended these services today and are blessed, I know as I am, to know that God loves us in spite of us, and to know that God loves us even when we are not worthy. And we praise him for his wonderful and marvelous blessings upon us. And let us then continue to pray and draw near him and to worship him continuously through each and every day. We invite you to come on Sunday, October the 30th, when our missionary emphasis day is held. We certainly praise God for the work of our missionaries, how they show the love of God and how they express the goodness of God when they carry out their mission, their work, their reaching out to the kingdom. And so we invite you to come in person on Sunday and to share in the services, as well as the availability of the services and worship time over our virtual ministry. The Reverend Dr. Rodney Till, the pastor of the Jerusalem Baptist Church, will be our guest speaker on Sunday, and we invite you to be present and be blessed thereby. After our Sunday worship experience, which will conclude so that we can get to 11:30 breast cancer awareness and healing session that will take place in Ida Clark Hall, we encourage you to come and hear the testimonies and the witnessing going on after our services at 11:30 in Ida Clark Hall for this experience. May God bless you as we continue to lift up him in praise and service. And then we encourage you to pray for our sick and shut-in persons. Pray for Deaconess Sarah Plummer, who is requesting healing prayers, as well as Deaconess Millicent Machete, who desires our special prayers. Please pray for them. And we also ask that you would pray for the bereaved among us, if you will pray for Sister Marsha Copeland and her entire family in the transitioning of her mother and our beloved member, Sister Carolyn Smith. Arrangements are yet pending. And then pray for missionary Catherine Blunt, Powell Blunt, and her entire family in the transitioning of her nephew, Brother Gregory Williams. Also, the arrangements are pending, and we will let you know something next week. Let us keep the prayer lines open, because God does hear and he does answer prayer. We're going to open up the lines now for prayer requests. Those persons desiring special prayer, the lines will be open for 20 seconds for you to call out the names of all the situations that you desire prayer to take place. Lines open for 20 seconds.
My first Baptist church under the shadow of the wind. Be with us all.
God, our Father, we come just now asking that you would bless indeed the cries of your servants. You know their hearts, you know their desires, you know their wishes. You've heard them plea tonight that deliverance and healing would take place. And so, God, we come asking that you would hear us all as we seek and look forward to blessings for those that stand in need. We pray, O God, special blessings for the sick among us, O God. Have mercy on them and send your healing grace and abide with them, O God, and let them know that they are not alone, but you are with them every step of the way. We ask your blessings for the bereaved individuals, O God, those who have lost individuals that they love and they care for. And so, God, we ask that you would draw nigh unto them and touch their hearts and bless them, O God, and encourage them as they travel along. And then, God, we ask your blessings for the needy throughout the land, the needy in our community, the hungry, O God, those who are standing in the need of deliverance. We pray, O God, that you would bless them as only you can do. We pray for sinner man, O God. We come to rejoice because we know that we too are sinners, saved only by your grace, O God. And we ask that you would draw near upon those who have fallen short and who have not drawn closer to you, O God. Deliver them from the pit of darkness and despair, and give them an assured chance to walk with you and to rejoice with you. Help us when life seems to be destroyed and seems to give us such a hard time. Oh, God, teach us to draw clear unto you and help us keep our minds strong and safe, oh, God. Keep us from the hurt and evil and the pain that comes when we are in those moments of despair and hurt and loneliness and rejection and failure, oh God. We pray that you would be near us and deliver us as only you can do. We thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for waking us up and giving us another chance. We thank you for your mercy, your undeserved grace that has come our way, and your keeping us and blessing us. We say thank you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for opening doors for us, doors that no man can shut. And we ask, O God, that you would keep us in your perfect peace, O God. We thank you for those moments that we can get close to you and know that all is well. We thank you, O God, for the joy that comes in our hearts, that you enable us to break through those dark moments and we can have peace and happiness. And when you abide with us, and see us through those ugly times that prevail in our lives. And then, God, we ask that you would help us to draw real close to you, that we would know you, that we would sense your feeling, sense your presence. Draw nigh unto us, God, that we would know that you are in our hearts. And, God, help us that we would know, even though sometimes our hearts are broken, you are ever there to pour the gentle oil of love and peace over us, that we may be able to be renewed, strengthened, and empowered to be a blessing to somebody else. We say thank you, O God. And especially do we say thank you for First Baptist. Thank you, O God, because you have kept her. You have loved her, even when we falter, even when we fail, even, O God, when we are not obedient in your word and in your way, O God, you are yet there, blessing and watching us for 159 years, O God. You have seen us through seen and unseen dangers and enabled us to overcome. And so we praise your name, give you the glory, because it's only you, God, only you that has enabled us to be where we are. We thank you. And now, God, we ask your blessings upon all of us. Keep us and strengthen us. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and grant unto you his holy and divine peace. And the people of God said, amen, amen, amen.
This concludes our Wednesday night prayer service for October 26. We thank you for joining and ask that you please be mindful of all announcements made by myself and Reverend Tucker tonight. And if you need additional information, we encourage you to read the pastor's weekly letter to the church, reach out to your circle leader, or visit our website at www.fbcwdc.org. For those of you who will be signing off, have a blessed evening and the remainder of your week. We look forward to seeing you in person or on the line this Sunday for our services that begin at 10 a.m. And for those of you remaining on the line, I pray that you continue to enjoy the music.
Can you say the love of God?